Well, praise God. I want to welcome you to Spiritual Awareness with Pastor Davenport. We are a 501c3 prayer ministry. We are a part of Gospel of Faith Church out of Ash Fork, Arizona. I wanted to make an announcement today. Tomorrow, as we record this, we will be doing our service from Ash Fork, from Gospel of Faith Church, via Zoom tomorrow. If you don't have Zoom, just go onto your apps and just download it. It should be free. It's a free app. Get Zoom, download it onto your device, whether it be your phone or whether it be your computer. And then you need to email Pastor Davenport, G-O-F-C, @gmail.com. Pastor Davenport, G-O-F-C, @gmail.com. Or if you know Grace from the church, Grace Boyd, go ahead and get her email and email her. Get your email in. I think you can mail it to the Facebook or the website, Gospel of Faith Church. I believe it's at Gmail also, and get your email in and request that you receive the site, the Zoom site that that we will have. And they'll give you the address for the Zoom site, and you just enter into that and you just join the meeting. It's kind of like joining a revival. Praise God. We're going to be trying to do, when we can, we'll do a live at the church, and when we can't, we'll be doing it by Zoom. So join with us. We're going to still record. It's saying to me as I'm on it today, beginning June 2024, our recording and editing tools will no longer be available. So I'm not sure how much longer I'm going to be able to record, by voice. We may end up having to go on to video. So if you want to do that, it'll be done by Zoom. And I'd like to have you all join in. So again, just either get me your email so that we can include you on the email list so that we can send you out an invitation to join the meeting by Zoom. And that's by video. So you'll be able to see us preaching. We want to get you on board. We've had a lot of questions because of my last service, and I want to thank you all for your prayers. I had an asthma attack. I believe it started with an allergy attack, and I did not have Benadryl. That's the first Sunday I've been over there that I've not. And I think that was the culprit. I normally take Benadryl when I go over to the Ash Fork, and I did not have it. I think it went into an allergy attack, followed by an asthma attack, followed by my COPD. And so those of you that were there were taking bets on how long before I hit the floor, passed out. It was a struggle. But praise be to God, we made it through. So I will be zooming into the church tomorrow, and I can breathe. Praise Jesus. But some of you have emailed me and said, you know, we're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the power of prayer. We're talking about a New Testament church. And many have asked, how do I receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit? So I thought I would preach a little bit on that that journey that you will make in the church from receiving Christ to receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So if you would, let's bow our heads and go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are your children, for we believe in our hearts that Jesus has been raised from the dead, and we have confessed Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. Now Jesus said, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give of the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Today, we ask you now in the name of Jesus to fill us with the Holy Spirit. We step into the fullness, and the power that we desire in the name of Jesus. And we confess that we are a spirit-filled Christian. And as we yield our vocal cords, our very organs to speak, we expect to speak of the Spirit. For the Spirit gives us utterance in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, amen and amen. Hallelujah. 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 Praise Jesus. Before we begin, as always, with Pastor Davenport, I ask you to take your Bibles, lift them to heaven, and if you can't lift them because of your arm or whatever, just put them to your heart and repeat after me, if you would, please. Just repeat after me. This is my Bible. Go ahead, say it out loud. This is my Bible. It is the infallible Word of God. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I will never be the same. Well, praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. You know, it's a wonderful thing to walk in the Spirit of the Lord. And I know that you're excited to begin the church as it begins to grow, and we're seeing that growth. Hallelujah. We're seeing the growth of Gospel of Faith Church here on this broadcast, and we're seeing it as God is blessing the church and as the Holy Spirit takes hold. So today, let's begin a journey into the supernatural, if you will, as we talk today about the power and the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Our roadmap is going to be the eternal, the sovereign, and the unchanging Word of God. And our exploration is the power and the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What is its function and the manifestation of its gifts in your life today? Let's look at that. And let's see how that affects you and how it affects the church as it begins to grow. Now, there are four dangers I want you to be aware of for every single Christian when he or she begins to explore the supernatural. So I want you to listen closely today. The greatest danger is the danger of understanding Scripture in the light of what your experiences may have been. I want you to understand this. We should never interpret Scripture by the light of your experiences in your life. You should examine your experiences in the light of the Scripture. And if your experience and Scripture do not coincide, you've had a wrong experience. Excuse me. One of the great problems in Christianity today is that we have experimental Christians. I've heard people say, well, I had this experience, and then they try to find the verse that may support that experience rather than what the Word of God says. The second danger is to go beyond the Scriptures to be contrary to what the Scripture is actually saying. I heard someone say, I don't care what the Bible says. I know because I've had a religious experience. That's wrong. That is fanaticism. Fanaticism. Now, let me define fanaticism for you. Fanaticism is a divorce, if you will, between Scripture and experience. Now, the, The third danger is to put tradition above the clear teachings of the Word of God. Tradition can be found in the teaching of denominationalism. Every major denomination has a traditional teaching that you no more support in the Word of God than Jack in the Box or Jack in the Beanstalk. But people believe it anyway. By the thousands, because it is a doctrinal tradition of their church. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You have made the traditions of your fathers greater than the Word of God." Say it again. "You have made the traditions of your forefathers or your fathers greater than the Word of God." There is a Roman Catholic tradition that says the Assumption of Virgin Mary. It is a doctrine that says Mary never died and Mary was never buried, but that she rose bodily into heaven. Now, I'm here to tell you, I have a master's degree in biblical theology, and there is not one word of that in the Word of God. Not one scripture in the Bible, in the Holy Bible, that supports that doctrine or that tradition. It is a doctrinal tradition, yet thousands support it and believe it because they have been told and taught that. It is something that goes beyond the Word of God. Yes. Mary, the Mother of God, is sacred. She has a holy place. But she died. And she was a normal, mortal person who God used. She is not God, and she's not the access, you know, to God. The access to God was in, is, and always will be Jesus Christ. No man comes to the Father save through the Son. Amen. It is, was, and always will be Jesus Christ and Him alone. There are major evangelical denominations that teach about baptism of the Holy Spirit, saying that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is received at salvation, and that's all there is, no second work of grace. But I want you to understand that this is a traditional doctrine. It is not the scriptural, as we shall see in the Word of God today. Now, the fourth danger is that of being satisfied with something far less than what the Word of God offers in Scripture. When you are dominated by your experience, or you are dominated by tradition or myths that are contrary, say contrary, contrary to the Word of God, it is impossible for you to grow in Christ. Mark this. When you reject the truth, then you are mastered by a lie. Write that down. When you reject God's truth, you are mastered by a lie. When you reject light, you are doomed to darkness. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 16, "From the fullness of His grace, we have all received grace for grace." John chapter 1, verse 16. Write that down or mark it in your Bible. John 1, 16. From the fullness of God's grace or His grace, we have all received grace for grace. What does that mean? That means that when you come unto the light of the Lord, you shall receive one blessing after another. There is one level of spiritual growth after another. There is more in Christ Jesus than what you have as you begin to grow. There is more to the kingdom of God than going to church on Sunday morning and shouting amen. There's more to God than what you have right now. When you got saved, you did not get everything that's coming to you. You didn't get all of God, if you will. When you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if you had it, you did not get it all. When you got one of the gifts of the Spirit of God, you did not get them all. There's more. There's much, much more. It is on the eternal, a river of God, an ocean of the supernatural, and you grow from glory to glory to glory, from precept to precept, from grace upon grace, never exhausting the rich resources of God. Hallelujah. This morning, praise Jesus. Glory to God, aren't you happy that you're in the Word of God? Hallelujah. Aren't you thrilled to be a man or woman or child of God? Hallelujah. This morning, we're going to share with you the Word of God. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What do I get? How do I get it? I'm going to give you 10 biblical truths that you can be saved, have the Holy Spirit in you, yet not experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why do I need it? And what is the purpose in my life? I'd like you to turn to Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, if you will. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. They shall recover. That is the fourfold commission of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has not changed in all these years, in all these decades, in all these centuries. There's not one verse in this precious text that says that this verse has been superseded or deleted from the church. The truth is that the verse scares people. It scares you because God places the responsibility in each and every Christian's hands. We do not have the right to refuse God's commands. His command to you and I, that would be disobedience unto God, wouldn't it? Listen to me. I don't know if you can hear the wind blowing. That's why I'm coughing. The heavens, glory to God, I love this. The heavens belong to God. Say it with me. The heavens belong to God. The earth belongs to God. Christ is his. We are his. He is God and we are his also. The evangelical community has gotten into the automatic, if you will, grace mode. We become armchair Christians or pew Christians. They have brought God down to a carnal nature. We have placed him in a box on the altar. And we say to God, bless me now. It's 12:15 on a Sunday. Bless me now, God. Now, let me tell you something, church. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it does not matter who Cain married, or does it matter that you gain eternal salvation? I want you to know today, these are the things in the Word of God that we will never, never know. And because of your sin, you will never be able to justify God as not being holy. He is the holy of all holies. He is the great I am. And if you're going to stray or stay, excuse me, at Gospel of Faith Church, you're going to learn to reverence God the Father. You will learn to love the holy ground that you stand on. You will learn that his word is sanctified through the blood of Christ. Does it matter to me that I hear people talking in tongues? No, not at all. Not at all. It doesn't matter to me as long as it's authentic. Does it matter to me that my brother or my sister becomes enslaved in the spirit and falls at the altar? No, not at all. What matters to me is that I walk in the fullness of my Jesus. So I take my eyes off my neighbor and I put them on Christ Jesus. I throw out all that I have ever heard and I rely on what the Holy Spirit teaches, what it teaches me in the Word of God, not what I see, but what my heart shows me. I'm going to say it again. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he did in the book of Acts, he can do here at Gospel of Faith Church, here in Ash Fork, Juniper Woods, here in Williams, Seligman, Chino Valley, Kaibab, wherever. Wherever the word may spread. And realize this. I pray. Be that he will do it here, right now, again, as it was then. I've said all, so I could begin with this. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Let me define it briefly and in a way, oversimplified fashion. It is a second work of grace. Following your conversion, in which the third person of the Trinity, being the Holy Spirit, fills the human vessel, that's us, until there is a supernatural splashover manifested by one or more of the nine gifts of the Spirit, as evidenced by the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we're going to back up. It is the second work of the grace following your conversion, in which the third person of the Trinity, being that of the Holy Spirit, fills the human vessel, that's you and I, until there is a supernatural splash over manifested by one or more of the nine gifts of the Spirit, as evidenced by the fruit of the Spirit. I want you to look that up. That's your homework. Look it up. What are the fruits of the Spirit? As evidenced in the book of Acts. Don't panic. Don't close your mind off. I'm going to substantiate everything I just said today by the clear, unadulterated word of Almighty God. When do I get baptized? You can get baptized immediately after conversion. You see, everything begins at the cross. Your sins must be forgiven through confession and repentance. And then you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And then in the book of Acts, chapter 10, Cornelius and the regiment, Peter went to the house of Cornelius by a supernatural act of God. And when God showed Peter the sheet, hold on, and the unclean things in it, he was obviously speaking of the Gentile people. Now, I want you to understand that the Jewish people had had the word of God for thousands upon thousands of years, and the Gentiles didn't even know that it even existed. Excuse me, I had to get a drink. And so God said to Peter, now this is where we come in. And so God said to Peter, I want you to go to the house of Cornelius. And Peter went. And he went in and he introduced himself as an Orthodox kosher Jew. And he said, as you know, I shouldn't be fellowshipping with you people. But God has sent me to you with a three-point sermon. And he began. He began to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, and while Peter yet was speaking, Acts chapter 10 and verse 44, they were all, listen to me, they were all filled. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak in tongues and magnify God. My point is this. They received the Holy Spirit instantly after their conversion. You can also receive that Holy Spirit and not, now listen to me, not manifest the gifts for a number of days. Now hold on just a moment. For those of you with Pentecostal backgrounds, don't call heaven and report me as a heretic. Jesus said to the disciples in Acts 20, the Bible says, and he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Say that with me. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, how many of you know that if Jesus says you've received the Holy Ghost, you're going to receive it? Amen. Schofield and Springfield may not believe that, but I believe what Jesus said, all right? Say it with me one more time. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. The point is this. They did not manifest speaking in tongues until the day of Pentecost, 50 days later. But they did receive the gifts. Now, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it take a measure of time for your faith to manifest itself. Now, I'll get into that later on. Stay alert. I'm going to give you some biblical illustrations that will prove beyond any doubt that you can be saved, have the Holy Spirit in you, yet not be baptized into the Holy Spirit of God. Now, hold on. Here is the verse that people will often stumble over in the Holy Ghost baptism issue. Let me say about verses in the Word of God. I don't want to is the brother of I can't. Let me say it again. You write it down. I don't want to is the brother of I can't. In other words, there are none so blind as those who refuse to see. And if you do not want the supernatural, one excuse is just as good as another. So I'm not going you this, so you can say I have something by which is to say hang by my prejudices. So I'm showing you a verse of scripture that people who have difficulty in the Holy Spirit are really difficult with. 1 Corinthians, write it down. 1 Corinthians 12:13. 1 Corinthians, write it down. Chapter 12, verse 13 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized," speaking of our baptism into the body of Christ. We are all baptized into the body of Christ at conversion through the Holy Spirit. But this is not the, T-H-E-E, underline it, capital, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Everyone who is saved because the Spirit draws them. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, write it down. Romans 8, verse 9 says, Romans 8, verse 9. It says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man," or woman, I'm paraphrasing, "have not the Spirit of Christ," he or she, I'm paraphrasing, "is none of his." Now, the Bible also says, "No one comes to the Father lest drawn by the Spirit." John 4 and 24. The book of John, go to book of John. I want you to follow all this. The book of John, chapter 4. Verse 24. "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship God of spirit in spirit and in truth. So I want you to know that while you were yet a sinner, the Holy Spirit drew you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You came and you received a measure of the Holy Spirit in you. But that was not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, to the illustrations, and the point that I'm making in all of these illustrations is that you can be a believer, and have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you and not be baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is contrary to the major doctrinal teachings of some evangelical organizations in America today. Consider first the Old Testament saints. Abraham is introduced by Paul elaborately in the book of Galatians and Ephesians as the father of all who believed. Jesus said of Abraham, "You shall sit down in the kingdom of God with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." How many of you know that if Jesus said Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are in the kingdom of God, then they are in the kingdom of God? Amen? That's saved. Jesus said Abraham saw my day and he noticed, he rejoiced. He saw it afar, it says. The point that's being made here is that Abraham was in the kingdom of God, but he did not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and look with me at verse 19. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to give you time to get there. Ephesians. I love the Spiritual Awareness Bible. It has these wonderful tabs on it. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Hallelujah. Paul taught that Gentiles were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, that they were strangers from the covenants of Israel, having no hope without God in the world. And then he says in Ephesians 2, chapter 19, verse 3, now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens, hallelujah, fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. What are Gentiles when they are once saved? When they are saved, but fellow citizens. Who are the saints? The saints are the Old Testament Jews, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So New Testament believers are fellow citizens with the Old Testament believers. They are the saints, and we are one with the household of God, because it plainly states it is in the next phrase. The fact is, the Jewish believers in the Old Testament were of the household of God, but they did not have the Holy Spirit. Now, don't leap off your chair here. Someone's going to say, well, how were they saved? They were saved by faith. The Bible says, for by faith are you saved through grace. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 3 and 4. Whereby when you read, you may understand by knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which is other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. Read verse 6 with me. Ready? That the Gentiles, that's you and I, should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody lift your hands to heaven because you are co-heirs with Jesus in the inheritance of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Give God praise and glory here. Fellow heirs. We are fellow citizens, and here we're fellow heirs. Of what? Of the same body and the partakers of his promises. Praise Jesus. In turn, if you'll turn your Bibles to John chapter 1, verse 26. Chapter 1, verse 26, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John, chapter 1, verse 26. John answered them and saying, I baptize you with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. Verse 33, I know him not, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Here's John, chapter 1, verse 26 and 33. John is making it clear a clear distinction between the water baptism and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The third verse I want to give you is John chapter 7, verse 37 and 39. Turn there and circle it. Circle it in red. If you don't have a sanctified color, use any old color you have. John 7, 37 says, in the last days, what does that say to you? In the last days, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if any man thirst, now that means mankind, if any person, let's put it that way, I'll paraphrase it, if any person thirst, let them come unto me and drink. He who believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. Glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah. Look at verse 38. Look at verse 38. But this spoke he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him were saved. Yes. They that believed on him should receive from the Holy Ghost had not yet come. They believed, but they did not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Go to John chapter 20. This is after the resurrection. Jesus met the disciples in the upper room, and the Bible says again, and he breathed on them, and he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. They manifested that 50 days later at Pentecost, Acts chapter 8. Turn with me, please. One lady said, Pastor, I don't have enough fingers on my hands to follow you in my Bible. Slow down. I'm trying to get to there and of where I have to go this morning. So y'all listen in high fidelity. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 14. And when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that the Samaritan had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them. They were believers, but they did not have the baptism. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received, listen, and they received. I'm going to go back. Then they laid hands upon them, and they received the Holy Ghost. The next is the case of Paul himself in Acts chapter 9. He was smitten, listen, he was smitten on the road to Damascus. And when he was struck blind on the road to Damascus, he said, who art thou, Lord? Now listen to what it says. Who art thou, Lord? He knew it was a Lord. And what wilt thou have me do? How do you know Paul was saved? Because the scripture says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord. Paul is saying, who art thou, Lord? And what wilt thou have me do? How many of you can recognize that as a surrender? I do. He's surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in Acts chapter 9 and 17, Paul goes to the house of Ananias, who has come from the Wednesday night prayer and Bible study at his local church. Ananias said, Brother Paul, the Lord told me you are coming, and he put his hands upon him, and the scales fell off of Brother Paul's eyes, because the Jewish people are blinded, and the entity of who Jesus Christ really is. And the scales fell from his eyes, and he received, listen to what it says, he received the Holy Ghost as described in that scripture. The seventh Bible evidence is in Acts chapter 19, verse 2. Acts 19, verse 2. Glory to God. I'm preaching, somebody needs to raise their hands to heaven and shout amen this morning. Acts 19, verse 2. Turn there, please. And he said unto them, have you received? Read it with me. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Do you see that, church? And God is telling me take a pause here. God is saying to me to ask you that question right now. Ask you that question. Those of you that are listening to the sound of my voice, God is saying to ask you that question. Have you received since you believed? How many of you out there that are listening to the sound of my voice, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? You believe first, and then the Holy Ghost comes second. Acts chapter 9, verse 6, read it with me. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. This is the eighth verse of biblical evidence. You say, Pastor Davenport, why are you teaching this in such a belabored fashion? Because it's time that our church realizes that this is not over once you're saved. But it is just the beginning. If you can cross this bridge, I'm going to open a new door for you into a whole new world of the supernatural signs and wonders of God. But first, I must break you out of a spiritual prison that organized religion has placed many people in. Many people have been in by traditionally religious denominationalism, and the Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That's why I'm dwelling on this in such length. Matthew 3 and 11, John the Baptist is speaking. I indeed baptize you with the water for the remission of your sins, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I. He, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. How many of you can recognize it as two separate experiences? Now the ninth evidence, Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. For John Baptist with water, he baptized with water, but before many days you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the tenth and final evidence, Ephesians 1 and 13, Paul is reminding the Gentiles, Christians, how they became Christians, how they became Christians. He's saying, he said, I'm him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. I'm whom after you believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 1 and 13. There are 10 biblical evidences that clearly, plainly, irrefutably say there is a difference between water baptism and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, in your mind, church, the two baptisms can be immediately compared as follows. A candidate for water baptism is a sinner who has confessed his sin according to the Matthew chapter 8 and 19, or 28 and 19. The baptismal element is water. The purpose is the witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you are laying down your old life when you are baptized at Gospel of Faith Church, giving a public testimony that you are laying down your old life. And when you come out of that water, you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And you're walking a new walk with the Son of God. You're not being baptized as a candidate for of membership into the denomination. The result of water baptism is entrance into the body of Christ. Now consider the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The candidate is the baptized believer. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Jesus was baptized in water. After he was baptized in water, the Holy Spirit descended upon him. Acts chapter 8, verse 14 through 17 confirms the same. The baptism is not a preacher, it is Jesus Christ. The result is the reception of the Holy Spirit with accompanying gifts of power. I have to ask you today, in this very moment, I have given you 10 biblical evident or evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I ask you today, if you've been baptized by water and you've not received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, if you believe that you are ready, I ask you to receive ye, as Jesus said, receive ye now the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Bow your heads with me, please. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, I ask those that have been baptized in water, those that are believers, that as Jesus said, receive ye the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Ghost. I ask now, Lord God, even though it's on a broadcast, Lord, I believe that if they hear my voice, they hear and feel from Jesus. I speak not for my Savior. I only ask that they would listen to the sound of Jesus. I only ask, Lord God, that they would be touched by the Holy Spirit. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, I ask, Lord God, that you send the Holy Spirit that they might receive. I'm asking you right now, just spread your arms out, that you're going to receive and receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Right now, every part of your body, your mind, your spirit, receive that anointing of the Holy Spirit. Receive that anointing of the Holy Ghost. Just open your heart, open your mind, open your very soul, and receive. In Jesus' name. As we grow, may your heart and your soul grow. Amen and amen. Again, I want to remind you that we will be Zooming today's service. We record this one for those that cannot get Zoom, but we will be Zooming our service. So contact us, Pastor Davenport, GOFC@gmail.com. So I have your email, so I can send it on to Sister Grace so that she can send you the, whatever you call it, the site. And she'll send you out the link, I guess that's what it's called, the link, and you can join in with the service. With that, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you till he brings us back again. May God bless you all.